Dream Show. I'm Jane Teresa Anderson, and this is episode 219. And my guest on the show today is Joshua. Now, if you've been listening to the Dream Show for a while, you'll know that most of the guests that come onto our show are anonymous. They bring a dream for us to interpret and explore and discuss as an offering so that you can learn more about how to approach dreams and learn a little bit about the person that that brings a dream to the show. And occasionally people feel more comfortable with actually saying who they are. And in Joshua's case, as you'll hear as we go through the interpretation, he has written a book. It's called My Dreams and Me, and it's published by an academic publisher called Mind Mend Publishing. And you can buy his book, and I'll give you the full details and his website at the end after you've heard Joshua. So Joshua brings a beautiful dream. We have just finished recording it, and here I am adding the beginning to the show because, as you also know, the formula for the Dream Show when we have a guest on the show is that we line everything up, and the only thing I don't know is what dream the person is going to bring. And usually I don't know anything about the person either, which makes it even more exciting. So you experience the process of hearing the dream for the first time as I hear the dream for the first time and where we take it from there. So we'll shortly go over to Joshua, but just a reminder, first of all, before we go there, of my own websites, which are janeteresa.com, that's Teresa without an H, and also my online learning platform, the Dream Academy, which is dream-academy-online.com. You can go to either of those sites where there are lots of free resources, where you can also listen to every episode of the Dream Show that's ever been, and also where you can find out about my own services and how I can help you to understand your own dreams and work with your own dreams, as well as to do courses on dream interpretation and dream therapy. But on with the more exciting stuff now, and on with talking with Joshua. Welcome to the Dream Show, Joshua.
Hello. Thank you for having me.
It's a pleasure. And also, while, you know, just before we begin, huge congratulations on having your book published.
Many thanks. It's very exciting.
And you're all the way from New Jersey. How's your day been today?
Well, I was actually in Rhode Island, which is about 200 miles north of here, visiting my son and his family, and we had a long drive back. But Rhode Island, New Jersey, the weather's been pretty good lately. Thank you for asking. How's the weather there?
You're midsummer. We're a little bit chilly. I think I'm wearing about five different layers of clothing at the moment, but it's beautiful.
And it's very good.
And it's bright and sunny. Well, I'd love to hear your dream. What have you got for us?
Well, this is quite a long dream, so I'll just sort of go through it quickly if you'd like. I find it interesting because it's similar. It has a lot of similarities to dreams I've had in the past, and it's somewhat current with regards to things that you're hearing in the news as far as fear and intolerance and things like that. So I think it's very interesting, and I had it I guess about a month ago, and I recorded it because I thought it was so interesting, and I was thinking about what to do with it, so I thought it would be a good dream to discuss with you just to get your analysis and your feedback on it.
That's lovely. Go ahead.
Very good. So it starts off with I'm walking outside, so I'll read this in almost note form, and hopefully it'll make sense. I'm outdoors just walking around. There are a lot of people around me. A young, light-skinned black woman approaches me and asks if I need help. She's very pleasant, but I tell her that I'm fine. She asks if I could do her a favor and hold her cell phone while I go to a place nearby and then call someone in her directory. I don't know why she's asking me this, but she seemed very pleasant and very cordial enough so that I would, you know, oblige this. The number, she said, is ready for a redial. I could see that on the telephone, and I'm very comfortable doing this, although I don't know why. As I'm looking for this place where she directed me to approach, I start feeling very confused about where I am and why I'm even doing this. I look and I feel very, very lost. And the place where I'm heading has a lot of people, some sort of a crowd. And again, I just don't know why I'm there. And the dream starts becoming very confusing at that time, at that point, and very frustrating. I get to the designated place, and within a crowd, I see a young man who looks very Middle Eastern. I don't know why that's the thing that hit me, but that's the way I remember it, and that's the way I wrote it down. I see a young Middle Eastern-looking man. He's thin, and his head is shaved, and he approaches me. He asks if I'm lost or if I need help, and I say no, and he leaves. He just goes away. But before he does that, he puts his hand on my shoulder as if we were friends in a very, very, not an intimate way, but in a very friendly way, in a very cordial, warm way. I continue wandering around thinking about what I'm supposed to do. I'm still very confused. I can't find the place. I can't find the number now to redial that I had on my phone, on the phone the woman gave me a second ago. So now I'm very frustrated. I feel like I'm letting this woman down, so I finally give up, and I just start to leave. I'm basically abandoning this thing that she's asked me to do, and I'm leaving the place where she told me to go. As I'm walking through the crowd to leave, I could see this same young man again. This time he's in the distance. He's in some sort of a truck carrying what appears to be propane tanks. And I start wondering, is he following me? He approached me in the crowd. He left. Now I could see he's looking at me. He's in a car or a truck. And now I'm sort of feeling worried about what's going on and what's going to happen next. I leave this area, and I find myself in what looks like a college campus. Very open space, very green space, large buildings, etc. I go into a house on the campus or in this area, and there's a party in the basement. I'm walking around, and I don't know anyone, and suddenly I see the same man again. There he is, and I'm getting very nervous, and I'm getting agitated, because it is very clear that he's following me. It's very clear that he's following me for a reason, and I don't know what that is. He asks for the phone that the woman had given me, and he states that he'll take care of the call that the woman had requested me to make for her, but I refuse. I'm not giving in to this, because I'm so frustrated, and I'm so disappointed that I didn't do this for her, and I'm very confused. I suddenly feel like I feel like I've been set up, and now I don't know what to do. Now I'm not really sure who's who, what I'm supposed to do next, and where I'm going, and I'm feeling more and more agitated and more nervous and more unsure of what to do next. I start arguing with this young man, and he pulls out a small serrated kitchen knife. I can see that very, very clearly and very vividly. And Jane, most of my dreams, and I have a lot of dreams, as I've told you before, I've mentioned before, are very, very vivid, very, very colorful. And this object, this serrated kitchen knife, is very clear in my vision. And I start wondering if he's going to stab me. He gets distracted by something in this party, in this basement, and somehow he loses the knife. He drops it or something, and we're fighting to get it, but it's too late. He retrieved the knife, and I start yelling out to the crowd, call 411, but no one is listening. Now, in the United States, and you'll see the point of this in a second, again, the frustration, the confusion, in the United States, 411 is the number you dial to get information on a business or someone's phone number. No one's responding because I'm yelling out the wrong thing. The young man is scared off, and he runs away. No one helped me, and I realize now it's because I was yelling 411 instead of 911. In the United States, 911, again, is the number for emergencies, police, fire, EMTs, security people, etc. I feel very, very silly, very stupid, and I leave the party. I am now alone again, and this time I'm in a very quiet neighborhood, and thinking about getting rid of the phone, just throwing everything out, and just getting this over with and just going home. It's very, very dark out, and again, I don't know what to do, but this is what I want to do. I don't know how to do it, but this is what I want to do. As I walk, I see the young man again following me. He's following me, and I ask myself, how does he know where I am? I come to the conclusion that he must have put a homing device on me, and he could track me. He's been tracking me. Maybe it's the phone. Maybe it's something else that he put on my person, on my body. And I'm starting to feel that the woman and this man are in this together. It's some sort of setup, some conspiracy that I have fallen for. It makes no sense, but I'm still convincing myself that's what must be happening. I find myself in an abandoned building. Suddenly, I start thinking about what to do with the phone. I finally get rid of it. There's a very large scheme going on. I've been tricked into getting involved in something. I don't know what's going on. I think it's a terrorist plot, or maybe some sort of espionage situation, and I abruptly wake up with no answers. So I beg your pardon, that's a long dream, but that is really how it felt and how it unfolded and how I recorded it.
Oh, that's fabulous, Joshua. Really, really great. I'm always taking notes on the dream, so the only thing I would say was a lot of notes for me to take, but it's a great dream.
Well, again, I didn't fabricate any of this. This is how it unfolded, and it feels quite long, although I'm sure it wasn't in reality, but it felt very long as I recalled and recorded.
Yes, yeah, the drama of it. And this was a month ago, so it will be, of course, relating to what was going on for you the day or two before the dream, and then during that time, was going on for you in that day or two, resonating back to, you know, your deeper past, and then also projecting into the future. So, and it's lovely that you've brought one along that you say has elements in it that have been recurring for you in the past as well. And I notice within the dream there's a kind of a recurring element, isn't it? Almost motifs, you know. To begin with, there's a couple of places where you're asked, the light black woman says, "Do you want help?" And you say, "No, I'm fine." And then later on, the Middle Eastern looking guy says, "Do you want help?" And you say, "No, I'm fine." And then, of course, we've got the help thing at the party, where it's almost like, "I do want help, but I'm actually giving out the wrong number here. You know, maybe I'm fine, maybe I'm not. I'm not sure." So there's that kind of theme going through it. And the other kind of recurring theme is abandonment, isn't it? I'm doing this thing, or I'm not doing this thing, or should I throw this phone away, or I'm in an abandoned building, or should I abandon this mission, should I do it? There's this kind of, it's almost like it's a long dream, but it keeps recurring over similar ground and presenting it in different ways.
Yes, this is all very true, and these are traits or conclusions that I've seen, that you've come up with, that I've seen in other dreams before. And just so your listeners have a little bit more background on me, the seeking help part is very, very, very accurate when it comes to me as a real person. I'm not one that asks for help. I try to figure things out on my own. So people asking me, "Do I need help?" I usually say, "Thank you, but I don't need help." So it's not a coincidence that it happened in the dream that way, because I am actually that kind of a person.
Yeah, that's wonderful. And of course, what our dreams do is reflect back to us, as you know, both our conscious awareness of ourselves, our conscious beliefs and feelings and patterns of behavior, and also our unconscious side, our unconscious patterns and beliefs and feelings of behavior. So you've identified consciously with the person who doesn't ask for help or will say, "No, I'm fine." And because that theme is quite prominent in the dream, no doubt as we go through it, we'll also be looking at the unconscious side of that. Well, why don't you ask for help, or what's to be lost if you ask for help? And we'll go into that as well. And there is also another major theme. It just came up for me there, and then I completely forgot it again. Yeah, it'll come back. And of course, there's a communications issue going through, isn't there? Because it really begins with, can you make this call for me? Can you contact someone? Can you communicate with someone, even though you don't know what it is you're supposed to be doing? And that is kind of another through line in the dream, is, are you going to make this call or not? How do you feel about this? Have you got a commitment to this? Or is it something that you need to abandon for other reasons? And all that of course is the other theme going through the dream, feeling lost, confused, not sure why I'm doing this or where I'm going, is the other major theme going through it.
And if I may say, unlike the situation of seeking help or not wanting to seek help, again being part of the dream and part of my real personality, the confusion, the lost part is quite the opposite. I pride myself on being a person that is a very clear-thinking person. I'm very organized. I plan everything out. I'm rarely lost or confused in the sense of where I am or what I'm supposed to be doing. So this is very unlike me. And this same feeling, Jane, is something that comes up in a lot of dreams that I've had in the past. And it's funny, because it's frustrating, because it's so unlike me.
It's so extremely unlike you, not just not a little bit unlike you. It's like you are so totally organized, you're saying, and so totally know what you're doing, that this is the exact opposite.
Yes.
Yeah. So what we've got there, and thank you for that, what we've got there is then your unconscious flip side of of a conscious set of beliefs or motivations or ways of approaching life. You know, the moment that, and we all do this, we've all got one or two touch points where we have an extreme position on an issue, you know, you pride, and for very good reasons, your ability to be organized because it gets things done and to be clear on things and to know exactly what you're doing and go and do them. But you don't just value that a little bit. You're not just a little bit like that. You're very like that. And we all have this thing or one or two things that we are very extremely like. And if you look back to our childhood, usually we occupy that extreme point of view because we really, 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 really don't want to be in the opposite corner. So the opposite corner, as shown by your dream, is loss, don't confused, particularly confused versus the clarity that you know that you have when you're conscious and awake. Confused, lacking in clarity, questioning, why am I doing this? So it's possible that in childhood that you had one or both parents or guardians or a situation at school where there was someone in your life that was so unclear or seemed to be so unclear and confused and not knowing where they were doing that you thought, I'm just never going to be like that. I'm absolutely going to go through my life with total clarity. And or a situation where as a child, because it's usually our childhood experiences that set us up with concrete behavior patterns for life, a childhood experience where you were lost and confused and it didn't work out well for you and you sort of thought, right, this is never going to happen again. I'm really going to stay on the ball here.
Yes, that's quite accurate. My parents were very supporting parents. They supported us with regards to going to school and college, et cetera, et cetera. But yes, they were busy, and sometimes they were lost or confused, and in many ways, as much as I love my parents, I always wanted to be my own person. So I think you are very accurate in saying what you just said.
That's lovely. And of course, it's wonderful. There are so many people out there, and probably many people listening, that would like to be their own person but can't define what that is or haven't decided what that is. So, you know, it's a great positive that you have that. And the, I guess, what your dream is reflecting on that level, your dream is reflecting so many things, Joshua, as you know, but is reflecting on that level is perhaps sometimes the ultimate clarity and perhaps precision by which you organize things in your life could perhaps sometimes be relaxed back a little bit because, you know, once you understand why you're in that extreme position. But we'll come back to that. I'm jumping all over the dream because I prefer not to sort of start at the beginning and work through it. And I'm thinking about the calling 411, which you said is in the US is the number to call for information on a business or a person. As opposed to as opposed to 9/11, which is for help. So, at that point in the dream, you although you do want help, you're not framing it in the words of "I actually really am an emergency situation here, and I really do need help." You're framing it as the help that I need is information on something, on a business or something.
Yes. Yeah.
And it's, you're laughing. It's possible that, you know, the dream may be reflecting the kind of help that you really were contemplating or needing at the time of the dream. It was more help of reaching out in some kind of business situation, or what is my Joshua's business number? What is my business actually about? How can I get more in touch with this? I need a bit more help defining exactly what it is that I do, or somehow getting my business notch in there. There's something there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's interesting.
Mm. And because you were at, I think at that stage of the dream, you were back in a student house on a college campus. Yeah,
a party, yes, in some sort of a student lodging building or boarding house or something like that. Yes.
Right. So that may or may not. Presumably you've been through college, yes, but have you actually,
yes.
Have you been back to college in like a teaching capacity or anything?
I not in a formal capacity. I have volunteered, I've been to career nights and things like that, so there is something there, yes.
Right, so just trying to work out what the college campus symbolizes for you in your dream, you know, whether it's taken you back to a time when you were a student or whether it's taken you back to at possibly, you know, times, as you say, when you've gone and volunteered and done things there. But essentially, that, you know, your dream has put you in that needing 411 help while you're in a open a college campus situation. So, you know, it may be taking you back to a student. I don't feel it is. It may be taking you back to student days when you were trying to work out what your business number was. And maybe it was then, you know, what defining, well, am I doing the right degree or not? What exactly is my number? Where am I going to go with this? Or whether possibly more likely, as you say, because you've gone back more in a volunteer advisory capacity, maybe helping, I'm guessing, helping students determine what they want to do with their life. Maybe the dream is symbolizing that too. It's like, yes, I've made this change, presumably, you know, having your book published. This is a change for me. What's my business number? Where am I going with this? What kind of help do I need? And how do I feel about that?
It's interesting you say that because about a year and a half into college at the university, I actually was ready to change majors because I wasn't sure what I wanted to do, and I was getting information on some new majors. I decided to pursue the original major, which was the study of pharmacy at Rutgers, the college where I attended, and as soon as I graduated, I changed careers. So that's pretty accurate that I was looking for things to change while I was in college and after college. So that's very interesting.
Right. When you did decide to stay with pharmacy, did you regret not doing the other subject?
Somewhat, yes.
And was the change that you made when you graduated consistent with the subject that you otherwise would have done?
Interestingly, no, but if you fast forward 40 years, 30 years, let's say, then it is more accurate because I'm now writing a lot more, and that was actually what I was thinking about doing when I was thinking about changing majors to become, get into more of a creative field, writing, art, photography, etc. So it really is interesting that you're picking that up because that's very accurate to where I am now.
Oh, that's lovely. And aren't we amazing people? the way we have these insights, even when we're young. I did a similar thing at university, when we have these insights when we're young and we don't follow them. So immediately several things jump out at me. One is also just looking back that you saw in the dream that college campus is an open space. So even though they probably are open, you know, that to me says that you're very open-minded around this now, as opposed to perhaps then when you thought, well, I better do the right thing. I've started with pharmacy. I better continue with this. Much more open that now.
Yes, that's very accurate. And in fact, my children, they're grown now. They both went to college. They both are film, TV professionals. And when they were contemplating majors, my wife and I were very open and accepting of any major they picked versus, you know, when I was at their age or when I was in my late teens and was thinking about college, my parents were very old-fashioned and very traditional, and many of the parents in our neighborhood were the same way, that you need to go to college for something that is a real career, accounting, pharmacy, medicine, engineering, etc., versus, you know, now as adults, when our kids were going through this process, we were, like, very open-minded about it. Pick any major you'd like. Don't worry about where that takes you. Enjoy what you're doing, and you'll figure it out later. So there is a lot of truth to what you just mentioned.
Yeah, and that's wonderful. And I can relate to everything that you said there too in my own career, but I won't go into that. That's wonderful that your kids have turned out that way too. So you're now in your dream applying the same, or trying to apply the same philosophy to yourself at that section of the dream, that to make it okay to do whatever you want. Because even though you have made that choice now, and you're now writing, and you've got a publishing contract, you've got a book published, and all of these things, and you're being more creative, and you're actually doing that, and you have clarity on that while you're conscious, and you've conscious clarity on it, and you're right in there doing it, there is probably still an unconscious part of yourself that is still programmed by your parents, but it's not a real career. Where are you going to go? Well, there's the question. Where are you going to go with that? It's not a real career. It's not pharmacy. You know, it takes, because this programming is unconscious, we're not aware of it, or we're not so aware of it, or you know, like, you are aware that they said that, but you're maybe not completely aware of how deeply that programs into our unconscious mind. So that the moment we step out to do something wonderful and creative, as you have done, your unconscious mind goes, oh, you can't do that, it's not a real career, what are you doing, even though you've given beautiful advice to your own children. And the other thing that I love there, Joshua, as you said, you know, you're basically into your creative side now, which is the real you, and that's fantastic. And I notice, you know, if we go right to the top of the dream, you're outdoors, there's a lot of people, there's a light-skinned black woman asks if you need help. Now, not to be racist or anything, or to even talk about, you know, what it means to have a person of color or white-skinned in our dream, unless these are elements that are personal to us, you quite often find in a dream that a person may be dark or dark-skinned or even black when they represent something that is from our unknown, from our unconscious. Because if you think of all the people in the dream as representing something about ourselves, then the people that are maybe darker-skinned or black will often be the part of myself that is in the darker part, in the shadowy side of my unconscious mind. It sounds terribly racist, but unfortunately it's the way that our dreamy minds do work. It's like, you know, if you had, instead of a person, if you had a bunch of flowers to represent you, then those flowers might be black if they were representing some unconscious blossoming happening, and they might be white if they were representing what you're conscious and aware of, even though we can't take a dream dictionary approach to dreams. So the reason I'm going on for so long here is that she's also female, and the female unknown characters in our dream who are female, whether we are male, female, whatever we are, whatever our gender or label, the female aspects, characters in our dreams often represent our yin, you know, our right brain, our creative self, our spiritual self, our more holistic, viewing rather than reductionist viewing, our yin as opposed to our yang. So the fact at the very beginning you've got a light-skinned black female asking, do you need help, to me is akin to a part of your unconscious creative. She's your creative female. She's light-skinned because you partly know her. She's got a bit of conscious sunlight shining on her, but she's also a bit dark-skinned. Your creative side is saying, Joshua, do you need some extra help? And you go, no, I'm fine. You're sure about that? Because I can. I've got a cell phone. I've got everything ready for you. You know, all you have to do is dial this number. It's on redial. So there's a part of you that really does know, even more so than where you're at now, creatively, where you want to go. And there's part of you that goes, yeah, I'll do that for you. I'm comfortable with that, even though you're a bit confused about where it is you want to go. So I'm reading that as, yes, you're very clear creatively on what you're doing now and in a business sense what you're doing now. And there may also be a greater creative part within yourself that you have yet to gain clarity on, that is that you may feel this kind of energy that is pushing you in a direction to just do this, make this call, make this contact, communicate this thing, walk this path. Yeah, I know it feels a bit confusing. I know you're not really sure why you should be doing that. But if you've got any kind of feeling of, oh, should I be doing that or not? Maybe you should. Maybe it's not always important to have total clarity. That's my feeling for the beginning of the dream.
That's very interesting. I never thought of what a person looked like in my dream mean or represent a deeper side or darker side, another side of me. Never thought about that. And then the creative side, it sounds like it just keeps coming up in the dream. Very, very interesting. And we have this conversation at home on a regular basis because my wife is very creative as well, but whether it's writing or drawing or watching movies or taking photos, etc., it's there, and it's always been there, and it's coming out more than ever, as you mentioned.
That's just really wonderful. So you are doing, you know, wonderful and correct things, even though you may from time to time think that this isn't exactly, I haven't completely got the planning, you know, sorted out on this. I've just got this drive that I'd like to follow. In a sense, that's where in your dream then the young Middle Eastern looking guy turned up. At a gut feel, what kind of age would you say that he was when you say he's young?
I would say he was young, as in late 20s or so.
Late 20s. So there's a couple of things here. You know, when we dream about people that we actually know from waking life, we take a different approach. We look at them as what they represent to us and therefore what aspect of ourselves they represent. But when they're strangers in the dream, we're trying to get a handle on what it is about ourselves that they represent. He's in his late 20s, and there's two possibilities here, Joshua. One is that he may represent yourself in your late 20s. And the other is he may represent something that's been in your life for around close on 30 years, you know, this energy has been, is now in its late 20s, so it's been around for all this time. My guessing from what you're saying is that those two things might be similar. When your late 20s and 20 to 30 years ago may end up in the same kind of decade, I'm not sure.
Well, it's very interesting you say that, because some people have, and I am not of Middle Eastern descent, although I have many friends that are, but some people have thought or said that I do look somewhat Middle Eastern. I'm very I have a lot of Mediterranean heritage in me, Spanish, French, possibly Italian, maybe Greek. So that's not too far from the truth, that he may have looked a little bit like me.
Right, okay, so he may have, your unconscious mind have brought him up to look a little bit like you, to say, here's an aspect of yourself that you maybe don't totally relate to, but maybe you do a bit. And it may be taking you back to whatever was going on for you in your late 20s yet again. So when he first comes into the dream, Joshua, he's supportive, asks if you need help, puts his hand on your shoulder, you feel cordial towards him, you're welcoming. So you've got that aspect of welcoming. But as the dream goes on, you get more suspicious about him, don't you?
Yes.
And you're mainly suspicious of him because you think that he's out to kill you.
Well, I just find it very odd that, you know, it can't be the fact that I met him once is fine, but the fact that I saw him again in a different place and then a third time is not a coincidence. So whether it's I feel threatened or uncomfortable or something, something's going on for sure.
Mm. And I get what you're saying. It's that sense of being followed, or you've got a homing device, or maybe being threatened, but you didn't get a feeling in the dream for what he was threatening you about or what the outcome of that threatening could be?
No, I didn't. And I think I mentioned halfway through the dream, I saw him as the opposite of the woman. And at the end of the dream, I actually contemplated that the possibility that they were actually working together in some sort of conspiratorial way. So very confusing, because I was comfortable with her. I wanted to do her a favor for her, even though I didn't know her. I was uncomfortable with him. I thought he may want to harm me or kill me with a knife, as I mentioned. Then suddenly at the end, I'm thinking that they're actually together. So that was quite confusing for me.
Yeah, my thank you for that. My feeling is that he is the male as opposed to her female. So he's the more the more young, the more structured, rational, reductionist kind of approach to life. Which you initially sort of trust, but then you feel could be a possible threat. Like, you know, this, wherever I go, this energy is coming with me. I can't shake it off. And he may be in collusion with the creative part of myself, which wants me to do more. So my feeling is that he may or may not represent a sense of threat within you. So it could be along the lines of, and I suspect it is, what, as I become even more creative than I am now, I'm stepping into relatively unknown territory, and I may feel threatened by that. I may feel not as comfortable as I have felt up until now. And then, because the unconscious mind jumps in here, yeah, well, you know, that's where your creative female is coming from. She's pushing you to be more creative just because she wants to get you into this threatening situation. You know, in other words, it's like looking at self-sabotage or fear of, if I get even more creative, if I go down this track, then what will happen? Maybe I won't feel as clear. Maybe I'll be going into the uncertainty of the unknown, and I don't feel as comfortable about that. I don't feel as cordial or as welcoming. And I now see the...
Well,
yeah, go on.
No, you're going towards a very interesting point here, which is even though I'm enjoying some of the new things I'm doing, I still feel like I'm sticking my neck out, and you know, not sure if people are going to take me seriously. So you're quite right on that.
I think you and every other creative person on the planet will be able to relate to that feeling. And I love that you just said sticking your neck out too, because the it's great that you are, Joshua. You don't get anywhere without sticking your neck out. But the Middle Eastern guy put his hand on your shoulder, which is very close to your neck. So there was a kind of a thing happening there. Yeah. He also later in the dream had a knife. And, you know, knives can threaten or kill us in various ways, including chopping off our head. So, you know, we...
Yes.
Mm, We all have that
and
feeling.
And again, the knife was very vivid. It was small but serrated like a kitchen knife that you would use to cut meat or something like that.
Yeah, cut meat, including flesh or heads off or whatever. Yeah. And it was the most vivid symbol in the dream, wasn't it?
Oh, very much so.
Mm. And so there's a sense also, I'm coming back to that, you know, you at the end of the dream was like, oh, have I got this homing device on me? And in many ways, I guess there are two homes in your dream. There's the one home, which was your childhood home, which said that you need to do the right career and you shouldn't be creative. I'm passing it here. And there's the other home, which is, where am I, Joshua, homing to now? Where am I going to in my, as I become more creative? And so it's like, as I walk this path to my new home, from my old childhood home to my new home in life, this thing is following me around. It's attached to me. This fear of, am I sticking my head out too far? Will I be threatened? Will I have my head chopped off?
I didn't look at it that way, but it's becoming a little bit more creepy as we go on, because you're right, at the very end, I just didn't know what was going to happen next.
Yes, it's that sense of uncertainty. Every creative has that sense of stepping into the void, you know. I have no idea how this book is going to sell. I have no idea what people are going to think about my book. I have no idea how my next media interview is going to go. I have no idea what book I'm going to write next. It's all very, very scary stuff. But I'd like to spin one less creepy thing into it, and this I love, and that's that you did describe the knife not only as small but also as a kitchen knife. So although we can do great damage with a kitchen knife, we can also do wonderful things with a kitchen knife in the kitchen. We can create wonderful meals and creative meals, and we can nourish ourselves with the use of a kitchen knife.
It's true, and as worried, as threatened as I felt, the man never really did anything other than following me. And he had a knife, but that didn't mean he was going to use it. We started fighting to get the knife when he dropped it, but that doesn't mean he was going to hurt me with it. So I may have overreacted in the dream, of course.
Yeah, not only overreacted, although in dreams we do overreact as a side, whatever repressed emotions we've got or emotions we're trying not to spill into our life want to majorly express in our dreams. So, you know, it's great that you had the fight over it in the dream and like, get this energy out of myself. But also, as you say there, you didn't actually know what the purpose of the knife was, and you read it as a threat, but it could easily have been that he was following you all the way from home because he wanted to make you a really wonderful celebratory, nutritious meal to celebrate your book.
It could be. I mean, as I said, I was starting to assume many things about these two people, and it went from a controlled environment to a very uncontrolled environment, and again, leading to my confusion, frustration, etc.
Mm. It's and so hopefully I've got a few other things to look at with you, but hopefully this is making you feel more comfortable about being confused, about stepping into a little bit less certainty. But I'm also struck, particularly because you said that you studied pharmacy. When you've at one point, the Middle Eastern guy was in a driving propane tanks.
Yes.
What do you see as the properties or the personality of propane?
I don't know. I mean, I can think of so many things. If I take a paranoid look at this, you know, I think of explosives. Mm. If I take a more scientific approach to it, you know, it could be experiments, heating something up. It really could be anything. I don't know what it means, but it could cover a lot of things.
Yeah, so again, you've got that lovely sense of it could be something explosive and dangerous, but it could also be something that is used purposefully for a positive reason. I don't know whether you get propane propane kind of cookers in kitchens. I'm sure that you don't, but you know, there is that element of it. It's a heat source that could also cook.
Oh, well, actually, I mean, in the States, we use propane very, very frequently for outdoor grills, you know, when you're cooking outside. And there are many homes in the United States, not far from my house, where they don't have gas lines underground, and people in their kitchen use propane that's being pumped in from an outdoor tank. So that's not far-fetched at all.
Fantastic. So right at the very first time when you were leaving, and then the second time you saw him when he had the propane trucks, again, there was that issue. He may just have been delivering to a couple of houses down or to your own backyard so that you could have this delicious meal.
That's right. Or to a restaurant or anything like that. That's right.
Yeah, to a restaurant, even better. You don't have to cook it yourself. Just turning the page to my other notes I took here. So there's this constant also theme of abandonment, or should I be doing this or should I not be doing it, which probably makes more sense to you now as we've been talking about this, doesn't it? Have you felt like, particularly in this will apply at so many different levels of your life, because our dreams do, you know, whatever the theme of the dream is, it applies at our business level, our personal level, our aspirations level, all kinds of levels. But can you now sort of see this abandonment question perhaps coming up around the what you have to do to promote a book, for example?
Yes and no. I think I use the word abandonment, I think, twice in the dream. I think, and please correct me if I'm wrong, I think it felt more with the phone, with the fight, getting out of there, et cetera, and with my life now, it feels more like I have to do things on my own, by myself. I can't rely on other people. Mm-hmm. I don't want to ask for help. So maybe not so much a sense of abandonment, but more of a sense of I have to do it by myself.
Yes.
Maybe because I thought I was abandoned, but I have to do it by myself. I have to do this by myself.
Yeah. And in many ways, as a creative, even if you do bring in other people, you know, your book cover designers, your publisher, whatever, still the major drive comes from yourself, and from yourself making the decisions about what you do want to do and what you don't want to do. So you're quite right there. And I think, Joshua, probably a lot of the conflict and confusion in your dream is trying to balance that sense of, yes, what I need to do by myself without necessarily asking for help or getting other people involved, what will be a stronger through line for me if I just pick up this ball and run with it myself because I know what I want to do with it, versus all the unconscious stuff there of, I'm too self-sufficient sometimes, and maybe I could be asking for more help, or maybe and all of these questions. But I like at the end of your dream, as you say, you were alone in a quiet neighborhood, thinking, should I get rid of this phone, get it over and done with? So that's kind of in alignment with what you just said there. Although it still left you at the end of the dream thinking, oh, he's still following me. Is that homing device? Is there a conspiracy here? So even if you reach that situation, which I totally understand, of this is something that I need to do by myself, you're still followed by some extent with this, whatever the Middle Eastern guy represents, that is this a threat? Or is this something wonderful that I can do? So, you know, going ahead by yourself to monitor all the way where you feel threatened or where you feel majorly advantaged, what you can do to cook and nourish and cook with propane.
And Jane, now that you mention it, and I'm looking at my notes, the dream pretty much ends the way it started. I'm by myself, I'm outdoors, I'm just walking around, I'm not sure where I'm going. I just realized that literally the first bullet on my notes and the last bullet are almost the same.
Yes. So in a sense, the dream came back full circle, as you've, you know, so accurately noted there, Joshua, that it looks as though you've been through all the stuff and you're just back where you began. But, you know, the bigger and often in many dreams I'd say, oh look, this dream isn't resolved because we've just got back to the beginning again. But in this sense, I feel that the dream has offered up a lot of deeper insight into the kind of underlying mechanics and beliefs behind it all that have probably ended up giving you slightly more wisdom than you may or may not have had before, but majorly in perhaps many ways almost endorsing the beginning of the dream, which is, yes, you feel confused, but maybe actually that's okay. Maybe it's okay, particularly as a creative, not to always know exactly where you're going and what the outcome is going to be. Yes, you need to be as a creative, you do actually need to be incredibly organized. You actually have to have bullet points. You have to have an agenda, particularly if you're working for yourself. You have to know where you're going. You have to do all of those things. But then you also have to, with each step you take, step into the unknown and feel okay, welcome that, rather than feel threatened by it.
Yes, again, back to the sticking my neck out, and some of the folks that have read my things have complimented me on my honesty and my openness and my willingness to share, very personal things. So you're right about that.
Yeah, and so, congratulations for doing that in your book too, and for doing it today on
Thank
the show.
You.
Because
Thank you very much.
It's a pleasure. As you know, when we chatted, when you contacted me before, I said to you that, and for people listening in case this is the first one you've listened to, our guests normally remain anonymous and come on, you know, just with your first name as an offering of this procedure for people to be able to listen to and learn about how to approach their own dreams, as well as to be totally intrigued by someone else's dream and story. And occasionally people say, no, I'd like to do that, but I'd also like to say who I am. And you in particular said that you had the book and you were coming on because you wanted to talk about your book. So number one, thank you for sticking your neck out and doing that. And number two, would you like to take a couple of minutes to tell us a bit more about your book and how people can get hold of it?
Well, thank you so much. I appreciate the opportunity. I'll keep it very, very short. I've always been a very prolific and vivid dreamer from a very young age, very deep sleep kind of person too, and an exercise in high school a long, long time ago about remembering your dreams and sort of jotting down some notes and looking at them in the morning has always been in the back of my mind. And as I changed careers, I mentioned before, and thought about writing something, the idea for this book was that I awoke from a dream that was very, very bizarre, very unlike me, as you said, another deeper, darker person that wasn't me. And I found it very interesting. I talked to my wife about it, and I decided to write a book based on dreams I had in a full calendar year, 2016. So there's a lot more information that your listeners could get if they look at the website, which we could talk about later or not. But the book is basically a compilation of a year's worth of dreams split up into 10 categories, categories that pertain to all of us, what it's like to be a parent, what's it like to be part of a family, what's it like to have friends, what's it like to work, what's it like to enjoy recreation, what's it like to feel threatened. So that's really what the dream is about, and it's almost a reflection of my life, but through dreams. And the people that have read it have found it interesting because they've learned a little bit more about me, but they've actually learned a little bit more about themselves. I just had someone the other day say, I'm taking my dreams a little bit more seriously after reading your book. So, again, I don't want to say too much about it, and I appreciate the opportunity, but it has been a great experience writing the book and putting it out there and seeing how people react to it.
Thank you, Joshua. And I think you've hit the nail on the head there. It's that offering our dreams and dream work to people gives them the opportunity to find out more about their own lives and discover more about themselves, which is great. I'll give the website address at the end, but I would say that your book is published by Mind Mend Publishing, and you published under a pen name, didn't you?
Yes, that's right.
Emilio Cott.
Correct.
Yes.
Yes, Emilio Cott.
And people can get your book from Amazon. Just before we go, if you were interested in doing a dream alchemy exercise based on your dream, and what a dream alchemy exercise is a way of, when you're awake, of playing with or manipulating or engrossing yourself in a symbol or drama of the dream to change it in some way, to reprogram or tweak your unconscious mind. And we haven't got time to go into great depth, but my suggestion to you, and you see where I'm coming from with this, my suggestion to you for your dream alchemy would be to get someone else to have a propane barbecue and cook something really unusual that you've never tasted before for you as a celebration for your book, and invite you to go along to an unknown place, so that what you're then doing is going through that sense of I'm totally surrendering to not knowing where I'm going or what's going to happen or what I'm going to eat, but it's not a threatening situation, it's actually a nourishing situation. And maybe even get them to make something that you can cut up with a little serrated kitchen knife when it gets put onto plates, so that you're actually bringing those symbols from your dream, the propane and the perhaps the kitchen knife, in a transformative, positive, enriching sense. And by actually doing that and stepping into the unknown and feeling good about it, it's helping persuade your unconscious mind to feel more and more comfortable with doing that.
I love the idea. Thank you very much.
It's a pleasure. And thank you, Joshua, for being a wonderful guest on the show. And I wish you every success with your book.
Thank you so much. Thank you for your feedback, your comments, and your ideas. And thank you for the opportunity to be on your show.
And that was a very enjoyable dream to delve into, wasn't it? With lots of rich rewards coming out of that one. So you can get Joshua's book. Actually, Joshua wrote his book under a pen name, as he said. So the pen name is Emilio Cott, and the book is My Dreams and Me by Mend Mind Publishing, and the website is mydreamsandmebook.com. Joshua also asked me, just after we finished recording, we were having a little chat before we said goodbye, asked if there was a way that listeners, that's you, could give him any feedback on, you know, your thoughts and feelings about his dream or about his book, anything really, just to communicate with him. And I said, yes, of course, there's always a comments box underneath the blog that accompanies this podcast. And I know these days people don't really usually write much in comment boxes. I think we tend to comment more on social media, don't we? But if you'd like to actually go to the to janetheresa.com to episode 219 for the blog there, which where you can also listen to this podcast, if you know, because you may be listening to this podcast on your podcast app, but you can actually go to janetheresa.com to the podcast blog, The Dream Show, and listen to it there and read the accompanying blog. Then, you know, you can leave any comments you'd like to leave for Joshua there. You are most welcome to do that. And you're also most welcome to leave comments for me as well. I always appreciate that. Social media wise, you can find me on Facebook or on Instagram. If you can't find those, go through my websites. They'll point you in those directions. And of course, my own websites, again, if you'd like to experience something similar to what Joshua experienced in going through his dream, but you'd like to do that privately, have a look at janetheresa.com, have a look under consultations, and you'll find many different ways in which you can do that with me. And if you'd like to come on The Dream Show as a guest, anonymous or not, as a voluntary contribution, then go to my website, janetheresa.com, go to podcast, look at the drop-down box, and you'll see there's a form you can fill on to offer to volunteer to come on as a guest. I think this podcast episode is probably long enough, so we're going to leave it there. The next episode, episode 220, oh, look, we get into the 220s, will be due out on the 16th of August, 2019, if you're listening to this in real time. Have a wonderful month, and I'll speak with you again then. I'm Jane Teresa Anderson.